I'd like to welcome everybody to the April 14th Select Board meeting. Would you all join me as we pledge allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Stu?
Warren.
Brian.
Tom.
And Stephanie's excused. All right, we have the minutes of March 24th.
Make a motion to accept the minutes from March 24th as presented.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Stu?
Warren.
Brian.
Tom.
Perfect. Departmental reports. Highway.
All right, so good evening, everybody. So this past month, we worked on a couple of projects. So one of, in particular was about a year ago, we had a washout on the S-curves of North Road, you know, right by Soha's Pond. So we got some money. It was kind of like some money from FEMA to fix, not do like the box culvert or anything
right.
like that, but it was just to fix the washout to make it a little bit better. So that was completed this past month. As far as that FEMA money for the box culvert, we are still working. I'm working with Bob. We're going to resubmit to try and get in on that grant money for the installation of the box culvert down there. It was denied once, but we're just, there are some updated criteria that I talked to Bob about, and when we had the meeting with FEMA, we were talking to them about it. And we may qualify, but we may also get denied.
Okay.
But we're going to try. We did do just kind of a cursory run through of all the dirt roads to try and take, you know, as many of the deep potholes as we could out. We didn't do a deep, like spring type grading, but enough to at least make them a little bit nicer. We did have a little bit of a brief mud season, really only on Flint Road, only in a couple of spots. We just spread some stone for that. We spread gravel on Courier Road. That's something that we've been wanting to do for a couple of years. It was getting pretty thin up there, and it gets the upper end of Courier, not the end of Courier that we did. It's because we own two sides, and Deerfield owns the middle. So
right.
The upper end we spread gravel on. We did do one spreader run in March, which is, as soon as we got into March, it kind of shut off considering what we had in February.
Right.
And then we did do quite a bit of patching. There's still a lot to do, but we did do quite a bit this past month. And that's all I have, barring any questions.
Anybody on the board have questions or anything? All right. Thank you. Police.
Good evening, everybody. I got some good stuff to go over. So April 24th, the new recruits will be going to the academy to do their PT test for their entry into the academy. Once they pass that, they'll be accepted in the first week in May, so they'll be off the road. Some of the training highlights we've gone over this month. We've done police driving, safety, first responders, defensive driving principles, driving techniques, vehicle safety, and gone over some roll call training, handling DV related calls. That's all part of that police one platform that we have at the PD, and it gives the officer some hours. I put some data up here for the portable speed sign. We had it sitting on Deerfield Road for a week, going southbound and then northbound. If you go to the next page, the fastest person that went by on southbound was 95 miles an hour.
Jeez.
That's moving. Over the 4 days of the sign being out there, the average speed was 42 miles an hour. We definitely know Deerfield Road is a hot road to sit on, and that the officers are down there doing a lot of directed patrols. Northbound, the fastest speed was 67, and through the 4 days, the average speed was 37. So I think the northbound's getting slowed down, and we just got to work on the southbound a little bit, right? You'll see the monthly statistics. We've gone up in motor vehicle stops, and that's partially because we have more officers on the road. Nothing really super big there. We did 181 stops for the month. Animal control ACO incidents, we had 11 of them. We dealt with 6 loose dogs, 3 loose cows, 1 wild animal, and we took, you know, just one was like a question about, probably about a wild animal. The offenses, broken down by state law, we had a total of 12 of them reports we took. You can see we have protective custody this month. No charge with that. Normally that's due to some level of intoxication or they just can't take care of themselves. Nothing really to report with the cruisers. They're all running great and getting their normal maintenance. Before I talk about the other department info, so I've got 2 letters here that are in your packets. One you'll see is from Police Standards and Training. And what it does is it... we're now in the accreditation process through the academy. There's 2 types of accreditation processes. One's through the New Hampshire Police Academy, and then you have CALEA. CALEA is the one that a lot of people know. It's nationally known. It's very expensive. It can become very costly on a town because of the certain things that have to happen, even like with booking rooms, stuff like that. New Hampshire came up with one, and they have a committee, a commission, that made it to where towns like us can get accredited and have things work between the academy, make sure we're doing stuff right according to policy, and in between them. They're not looking to, you know, tell Candia, the town of Candia, what to do. It's just like things like critical policies like use of force, taser, OC, things like that. This is a huge step. Part of this, we had to get Power DMS, which is a software platform. Governor Sununu at the time, he put out a grant, so we were able to jump on that. So we have Power DMS that we can work with the academy with our policies and get a good duty manual in place. And the $550 for the yearly Power DMS will be recredited back because of the grant. This is a huge step. This is a really awesome thing. It's paced. As we get it, we give it to them, and we work through it, and we'll get it where it needs to be.
Nice.
Lieutenant here, he's going to be the accreditation manager, so he's going to be doing a lot of the correspondence between the academy and our policies. The next letter you'll see is from Governor Ayotte. I remember the last month in the meeting I talked about 287G, working with ICE. Remember when I broke, when I yep. talked about mm-hmm. breaking that down? So the letter from Governor Ayotte is basically congratulating us on being on this program.
Okay.
And the safety. So I thought that was really nice. I actually just got that today. We're still in the pending process. Once that we pass into moving over, we'll send officers for that training and work through that.
Awesome.
So that's what the pamphlet is behind. We are doing the task force model, TFM. Any questions about accreditation or...
So that 287G program, that's sort of the opposite of a sanctuary town, then, isn't it? Where you agree to cooperate with ICE.
We'll work with ICE. ICE will help us if we run into something. Okay. It's a way for us to have a platform between them, just like we talk to the FBI, the DEA, okay. the ATF. They'll be able to help guide us and give us agents if it's something we need.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's just more of informational between the 2 entities. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I also completed a memorandum about our detail rate. One thing that me and the LT have done is we were looking at the surrounding towns and we're kind of behind the power curve when it comes to the detail rate. So, if you go to the second page of the letter there, I broke down the rate that a town will hire, you know, that a company can hire a detail officer for. It breaks down the officer's pay, and then the four-hour minimum. If you see, like, Northwood, they're at $101 an hour for their detail rate, and their officer is at $65 an hour, so that admin fee goes for the vehicle, the rest of that. Fremont's increasing $100, so they'll do $100, $65 will go to the officer, and the other is admin fee. And they, Auburn is at $103. They give their officer $62.50. There's an additional cost that they add to the cruiser, but I don't have that data. Raymond's increasing. They're going, their rate's going to be over $100, and they're increasing to $64. Chester is at $85, and they pay their officer $65. Hooksett is at, their rate is a $77. They pay their officer $55, but you also can see that they have a portion over here where they talk about chiefs, lieutenants, sergeants.
Okay.
They get paid different because they're higher ranks. For us, to me, a detail officer is a detail officer. Yeah. It could be a lieutenant standing there, but he's running the detail. He's helping that company. That's what he's hired for.
So on top of that 77, they also charge 20.
We're not going to do that. Nottingham's at 85, the officer gets 75, Deerfield's at 90, the officer gets 75, and Candia currently was at 80, the officer got 55. I'm proposing to move us to 100, and the officer gets 65. And the 35 would go into the fund to help with cruisers. My goal is to not burden the taxpayer with vehicles, and the detail fund will that helps with that. Well, we have these details like Lucas Tree and you know, all these tree cutting services that come in. They pay for the officer. They get the detail officer. They don't have to worry about that officer going out on a call. They're there to make sure the scene is safe and that workers are safe. And it puts money into the fund to help a cruiser and police equipment. So that takes the burden off the taxpayer because they don't pay for that. The other thing that I'd like to propose with this is that if a town resident needs a detail officer, we don't charge for the cruiser. We would charge the detail rate. And the reason why is because the taxpayer pays for the fuel to go in the cars. So I wouldn't want to double charge a resident that would need a detail. If there is a town function, Amy brought it up to me, the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That would just be OT rate for the officer. We wouldn't even do the detail rate because it's a town function. So that's how I'd like to see that go, if you guys approve of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the only question, when you have other towns that pull a detail in Candia, like Auburn or Deerfield or whoever it may be, which does happen, correct?
Yep.
Do they get our rate or do they get...
They deal paid? With their own
they
rate.
They do,
rate.
Okay.
It's based off of them because they bill the...
Yeah. The company that hired them.
That hired them.
To okay.
That. Administrative stuff goes through that department instead of ours.
Nice.
And so... With the $65, that would take into consideration the retirement because that would increase their retirement also, so...
Detail funds don't count towards that.
Oh, you don't get any retirement money on that?
Do we have anybody that's eligible for that anymore?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think Mike and Rick were the last two that...
Details are strictly details.
Right. Okay.
So that's where there's a little bit of a cost savings because they're going out, they're working for the company, and that's essentially what's happening.
Thank you.
Do
we need a motion
to
change this?
Yeah.
Like to make a motion for the detail rate to be increased to $100 an hour, and the officer is going to get $65 an hour, in effect as of May 1st.
I'll second.
Okay, any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Sue.
Warren.
Brian.
Pat.
Good. Thank you.
Can't get any easier than that.
No. All right.
Are we addressing this or not?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for keeping me on task.
I don't know about that, but...
lost my page. All right.
Yeah.
The other thing that I, you know, wanted to bring up, because it's a current issue, Candia Springs, everybody knows about how that shut down. The police department has been very involved in trying to help. I guess we've had people going in there, running around the forest and getting caught and messing with the actual park itself. So my office, the officers, they've been out there, they've been trying to do directed patrols in the area. We're giving help to the owners to make sure that they understand what they have to do, you know, for security reasons and things like that. So and they know to call us if they see anything suspicious or out of the norm. It's an amusement park. It's a shut down amusement park, and I think that's kind of what we're dealing with right now. So I know there was a lot of, I noticed a lot of it on social media this weekend, mm-hmm. So I went over there this morning and talked with the owners. And I have a meeting with them tomorrow to kind of do a walkthrough. See what they're talking about.
Thanks.
Yeah. So Chad and I met on Friday. The other thing we talked about was the flooring upstairs, to redo all the tile flooring upstairs. So far we've got one estimate. We're going to look for at least one more to compare it to, and probably move forward on that fairly quick, followed by painting.
You want to replace it with tile or with something else?
Well, probably something similar to what we just put it in down here.
Oh, okay.
We also have drug take back going on the 26th of April. We've teamed up with the Raymond Coalition of Youth. They'll be there with us, with one of our officers at the Candia First Stop. They were nice enough to host us over there, so we'll be there from 10 to 2.
Excellent.
Yep. So if you have any narcotics at the house that you need to bring in, that's the time to do it.
How about if you need some?
No, you're just kidding. We'll help them collect, Brian.
Good.
And then again, if you need any extra patrols in your neighborhood, if there's any areas of concern for speed, or you have suspicious activity going in, please let us know. The email's on there to contact Chris, and she can get that set up for you.
Excellent.
Thank you. Fire department.
I was going to say, for once
he's here.
No, he's skipping his meeting.
Oh, really?
Whoa, yeah, it's always the same night, Brian.
I didn't come to give my report. I just came for...
Well, your liaison isn't here either.
Yeah. Hey, can I do it?
Yeah, I look forward for old time's sake.
I just made it out, yeah. What do you
want to
know? I've never done it before. I've never been here.
You want Boyd to do it?
Boyd can do it. We'll let you off the hook.
Hey, well, we had 33 EMS calls last month. A little over one a day. And according to the report here, we had a couple of fire calls. And Dean does the usual building and truck maintenance and EMS training. That's pretty much the fire department report.
Yeah, I could add a couple things. The ambulance should be back from being repaired any day now.
Oh, nice.
It's been in Maine. Took a while to determine what they were going to do with it, whether they were going to total it. The insurance company decided not to total it, and they fixed it. So it'll be like brand new. We have two young people up at the recruit school. I'm in Concord now. They'll come out of there with Firefighter 1 and Firefighter 2. They both have their EMS certs already. And that was through the grant. I'm sure you all are familiar with the grant we got from the federal government to train people. It was a funny thing when that happened a couple of years ago. I kind of said to myself, what? No one's going to do that, but it's been phenomenally successful, and we've gotten some really, really good people to go through that. It's because they actually get paid to go to class, and the class is paid for, and then when they get done, the grant buys them a set of gear, which is $4,000 worth of gear. So it's been a really great thing. So we're going to do a spring cleanup day here next Sunday, like the dress the place up in the spring, do spring cleaning like we all do. The day crew, the ambulance crew, keeps the inside really nice all the time. We do have the installation of the ventilation system will be going on very soon, probably within the month. That'll be four ventilators, I don't know what the right word is for it, that'll be in each bay that will come on when the trucks start to take out the carbon monoxide, filter the carbon monoxide, make it much safer. When there was nobody there years ago, it really didn't make any difference, but with people we are now, it's important. That's bad stuff to suck in. And other than that, we're working on one or two burns, house burns for later on in the summer. But it's been kind of quiet lately on the fire side, knock on wood, which is okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we had a pretty good winter, I think. We made it through the winter very well, so.
Good.
Thanks, Dean.
As far as that grant goes, is Deerfield experiencing the same success as Candia, or no?
And I don't know why.
There's a little more enthusiasm here right now.
Yeah.
It's all about leadership, I think.
I don't know, Pat. I don't know. We've got some diamonds. I mean, we've got some really, really great people that, Joey Philbrook and Elias.
Yeah.
I mean, great, great kids. I mean, we have a young lady from Auburn who's just she's 18 in high school, and she already had her EMT. She had done it in school.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's a hard test.
So we're really lucky. We got some great, great people. Excellent. But we push a lot. We were asking. We're very proactive and looking for people.
Yep.
You know, that's what you got to do. And so we still have a year left on it. And we can use Deerfield slot. So it was a total of 24 individuals, but not 12 and 12. It's just 24.
24 total.
Two towns. So if they don't use them all, we'll try and use them. So
excellent.
Before the grant's done.
Glad to hear it.
Good. I'd like to skip over building because we've got a discussion that's going to follow up with Will's report. So if the board doesn't mind, we'll go to solid waste. I know Stephanie's not here for that either. So.
I'm solid waste.
Yeah,
you
solid
are?
Waste.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You changed. That's right.
Yeah. Well, the month of, we've got two reports here. One for last month, which wasn't available at the time. So I'll just do the March of 2025 report. We recycled 17.15 tons of recyclable materials. And the revenue compares with last year, a little bit more, $3,910 in revenue. However, we haven't received all our receivables yet. We sent out a lot of stuff a month and a half ago, and we're still waiting for the money. So,
I was curious about Deerfield, how that was going.
It turns out that there were some residents in Deerfield that were dissatisfied with the way they were recycling their stuff. But it turns out that they were not coating the stuff that was being recycled. They were actually recycling it, but Casella wasn't designated that as recyclable. So once they straightened out the coating and satisfied these residents, then they determined that they were in fact recycling a lot, and they withdrew their request to use our recycling stuff.
So they don't need to use it.
No.
Okay.
So that thing died on the vine.
Good.
Okay.
Nice.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
I can see things.
I know, going so
there.
Fast.
Nothing on the budget, Sue?
No, okay. Everybody just got theirs. So.
The only thing I got for planning board is basically we did hear from the applicant on Diamond Hill. That's a continuance. But I did want to bring to the board's attention that there are massive Senate bills and House bills on the docket tomorrow, and they all pertain to housing and land
acreage
for development, so it's
right.
It's kind of important, so I'm thinking that Amy and I may go up to set through as many as we can stand. But
will it give the public a chance to speak, I mean, during it or after it? Or
I don't know, I've never been
to
anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I imagine there'll be a...
Because you can write to them.
Oh, yeah.
There's a sign-up place actually online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can sign up to be heard.
To your representative and your senator.
Yeah.
Too.
So that's with that.
Good.
All right, building department.
All right. You want me to start with my report and then...
Yeah.
So some quick numbers I put together for you guys to just get the gist of what we're doing this year versus last year. That's what the board asked for me from last month. So last year, up to March 31st, 2024, we conducted 106 inspections in the department. This year we've conducted 84, so slightly down there. I attached some permit data to the report for you to look at. Looks like we did about 120 permits last year up to the same time. And this year we are at 85 permits, so we're down on that side of things as well. There's some data on the right that shows the permit fees as well as estimated costs. The estimated costs are just what the contractors provide us for the project cost. It looks like we weren't tracking that possibly before last year. So if you see the zero at the end of it, don't get concerned. That's all that is. This year, you can see there's about $2,113,000 worth of project costs just up to this month. I have also attached I'm not looking for the board's decision tonight. I'm just bringing a mutual aid agreement to the board's attention for discussion. Mutual aid agreement between Candia and Raymond, possibly. And that's just for building official and building official to cover each other in the case one is out, sick, injured, on vacation, in lieu of having a vacant building department during that time. Basically, it's a pretty lengthy mutual agreement. You'll have to go through it. I won't read it all right now, but essentially, it just allows each town to throw in a couple of days a week if the building official is out, and so it would go both ways.
Yep.
And then the only other thing that I had was I think you guys have on your agenda to sign the health officer.
Yes,
it's right there.
Document that just basically inducts me as the health officer.
Great.
We can actually do that before we get into the discussion if you want.
Yeah, that's under the top clipped part.
Oh, one last little piece was the town is taking a resident to court. That was scheduled for May 1st. It's something that I'll end up having to attend. So the town's attorney has asked to postpone that because she's not available. I'm not sure what the date's going to actually be, but likely sometime in May, I would assume.
Back in person with that stuff, right?
What's that?
They're not video anymore.
Remote. No, I think it's in person.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good.
That's for 308 Raymond Road?
Correct.
Yep.
Yep.
We should go, boy. I said,
his buddy. Okay. Does anybody else have anything at this point for the building inspector?
Does this mutual aid agreement, should that go before a town lawyer?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Okay. Yep. I drafted it up. I pirated some stuff off of other mutual aid agreements to get us close, but it should definitely be looked at before anybody signs anything.
So if they do 2 days for us, we do 2 for them? Is that kind of what?
So basically, the way that I drafted it was that if they have to fill in for me, the town would pay their building inspector fees, essentially. And then vice versa. If we had to fill in for them, Raymond would have to pay the fees.
Okay.
I have it set separate for mileage for the vehicle. I think that'd be simplest. And then I threw in there $50 an hour. That's obviously something that'll need to get tweaked. I'm not sure what the best avenue is for
that. Yeah, we can have Mike look at it.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll advise us.
Try to keep it simple so that it wasn't going to be some really odd thing to calculate.
So what have we been doing?
Carlton.
Oh, Carlton, okay.
You want a motion for this?
No, we're gonna.
No, because we're gonna have the attorney look at it.
Okay, well, I was gonna.
And then we'll bring it up at a later date.
So we'll set it up to.
Yep. All right, we got, I'm gonna skip over the first stop, only because I know that's gonna be a little more discussion. The nominating for health officer and deputy health officer. We got two. William for health officer and Mike Kelly for the deputy health officer.
And who for?
Mike Kelly.
Oh, Mike Kelly.
Yep.
You want a nomination?
I want a motion, yeah.
I mean, a motion to nominate. Yes, I'll go with that.
Will Dinsmore to be the health officer.
Yeah.
And Mike Kelly to be the deputy health officer.
Yeah, second that. Patrick second, so all in favor?
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Thank you. It's not as good as Trump, but.
You're getting there, though.
Are we doing the ZBA thing before we go to the nomination for that?
Oh, yeah.
Then we'll be done everything.
Right, yeah.
I was just gonna say, Boyd wrote something against her, so I'm just kidding.
This is a letter to the Board of Selectmen. What's that, dear?
That form also has to be signed by all of you.
Okay. This is a request, favorable consideration by the Board of Selectmen to reappoint Judy Zott as a full member of the ZBA of Board of Adjustment. Her term expires May of 2025. The board was unanimous in its support for Judy. We urge your support and immediate reappointment so as to conform with the RSA requiring that the board be comprised of 5 members. Our next meeting is April 22, 2025.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Susan.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Can I ask you, how many years have you served on that board now?
1992. 33.
Bless you.
Goodness. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm working to break this Richard's record.
Oh, there you go.
That's not service on the planning board before that board.
What's that?
You've been everywhere.
Johnny Cash song.
Oh, this is the contract. I'm going to have Boyd do this one.
So
this is for that. The contract to sign for that.
Oh, yeah.
Selling the properties.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
You want to do that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amy and I met with Mr. Richard Sager and his son, Weston Sager, last week. They represent New Hampshire tax deed auctions.
Okay.
And we talked to them about selling our portfolio, the town's portfolio of real estate that we've acquired throughout the years, either by, most of it's by tax deed. So we started with copying the inventory of town property from the town report. We came up with around 50 different pieces of property. We eliminated all the pieces we're using now, like the school and this lot here. Eliminated all the personal property that was on that same list. And we got it down to, I don't know, 45 or so pieces of property that were, that we identified, no, 30 pieces of property that had no purpose whatsoever to the town of Canyon. And then this board agreed that we would hire an auctioneer and sell these things. And our intent was to take the proceeds and deposit it in a capital reserve account dedicated for the police department. In fact, we had a warrant article prepared for that, which our lawyer kind of talked us out of. So he said, the only thing we could do at this time now is to sell the property And then once we get the proceeds at a future date, deposit it in the capital reserve account. So in order, the board reaffirmed its commitment to the sale of these properties at our last meeting. We met with the auctioneer, and they had already gone over the list, and they helped us winnow it down a little bit more, because there were a couple of pieces on that property that shouldn't be sold. One of them was a parking lot at East Candia at the depot down there, and the other one was the town forest, which somehow got on the list. So we narrowed this thing down to 19 properties that are all vacant. There's no occupied real estate. They have no use at all to the town of Candia. They're not encumbered by any conservation easement, and they're just simply sitting there. So the total value of these properties comes in at about $2 million, okay? And the auctioneer was provided us with this kind of little sales analysis. When they went out, looked at each parcel of land, gave us a little map of it with the boundaries, and gave us their estimation of how it will sell. So that's where we left it with the meeting with Amy. So before they want to invest any more time or money into this project, they want a commitment from the town that we're going to hire them to do it. So what we have here, someplace, is a contract right here that they're asking us to sign, which will obligate the town now to go forward with this project and hopefully get this stuff sold sometime this summer.
Tell them how they're compensated.
It costs nothing to the town. It's a 10% buyer's premium. So if you bid $10,000 on a piece of property, the town of Candy gets $10,000, they get $1,000 from the purchaser. Okay? So the amount of the work they've done thus far and the work they're willing to do to finish this project costs the town nothing. And they've done a remarkable job so far. They spent about two hours with me and Amy here explaining the whole process. It's a complicated process, but these guys do it for a living, and they walked us through it, and I'm confident that we can get this thing done this summer. There's no promises of what the yield will be, but I think it's time that we did something like that and authorized our chairman to sign this contract and get it off to him.
I have two questions.
Sure.
First of all, does this say it's going to be the 19 properties?
Well, that's see, here's
because
the
because the conservation is looking at this tomorrow night, I believe.
Okay, that's the problem. They provide us with a list of properties. There's two ways to sell properties.
Okay.
Yeah, under RSA 8080, which is tax deeded properties, yeah, and 4114AA, which is conservation properties that were acquired with conservation easements. So we have to provide the Planning Board, the Conservation Commission, and the Heritage Commission with a list of the properties that we intend to sell. We get their review and comment, comes back to the Board of Selectmen. We're not obligated, we're not bound by their recommendations, but we surely should take them into consideration.
Is this bound?
No.
Is a contract bound?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's not a number of properties.
They were careful to tell us that they can't tell how many properties you're going to sell.
Okay.
So that's the only thing on this property here is on this contract is we agree to hire them to sell our property.
Okay.
We'll work on what we're selling
and
next week.
Now, they must come up with a suggested amount to charge for each property individually, right?
Well, there's two ways to sell it. You can sell at absolute auction where the highest bidder gets the property.
With no minimum?
Or you can set a minimum. And they recommend an absolute auction.
Okay.
That gets people there. Well,
it's negotiating back and forth. Mm.
So some of this property is landlocked. The only people that are going to be interested are the abutters.
Right.
Well, somebody said something about the 30 acres to hold on to that, not that they thought maybe that shouldn't be considered. The 30 acres that was donated for the fire department.
Well, I talked to Dean about that, and he...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about him. I'm just saying someone else had said
I see. Okay.
That they thought that might be something the town would have a use for. I don't know what the use would be. But
So now, before we go forward, we should authorize Brian to sign the contract, send it back to him. They'll get us a list of the properties. We'll present it to the Planning Board, the Conservation Commission, and the Heritage Commission. Anybody else? All right. And we can proceed. They were confident we could get this stuff sold.
Sounds like a good deal.
I think there's a spot for all the selectmen to sign it.
Yeah, each one of you.
Okay.
On the back page. But yeah, if you want to.
So I move we sign the contract with.
Mr. Chairman, could I just ask a question?
Sure.
About the contract. If you sign the contract, are you bound to sell all those 19 properties?
That's what I just asked.
Or the contract just allows them to sell whatever you come up with?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
They're gonna, they'll present their list and we'll all agree at the last minute what we're gonna sell before they advertise it.
We'll do it during the meeting though.
Right.
Where other people could comment.
Did anybody second his motion?
Oh, I'll second if you want. I'm trusting you, Boyd. I haven't read it.
If there's no further discussion, all in favor?
Sue?
Boyd.
Brian?
Pat.
Perfect. I think there is a spot for all of us. It's a back page.
Before we go on, Brian, while we're doing all this.
Yeah.
I just want to ask one thing about the abatement process. It appears that we might have a number of abatements. Is that correct? When do we, I don't remember ever having like a lot. When, do we have one meeting just for abatements?
I don't even know where it's at, to be honest with you.
They're still gathering because they have till the 15th to bring them in. So they haven't yet received all of the documentation. Yes. So they're still.
Which is tomorrow.
Yes. So they're still gathering. Once they gather, they'll complete the.
Make their recommendation to the board.
To the board and then you'll.
And then we'll have like a full meeting just abatements?
Well, I don't know if it'll be a full meeting.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be.
I don't think it's that many, is it?
Oh, there aren't?
No.
I don't think so.
That's good.
There was a lot of people that were up in arms, but not that many people actually.
Filed an abatement?
Right.
Okay, just curious about that. That was the only question I had.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right, we have a discussion with Candia First Stop. Again, this is just a discussion. There's not really any action that the board has got to take. So I'll let Craig just state your name, you and Joe, and if you're going to speak.
Okay, speak from here?
Please, yep.
Okay, good. I first want to just thank the board for letting us come in tonight to meet with you. Tonight, myself, Joe Sobel, my business partner, and Ken Gould, our attorney. We were hoping the town's attorney would be here also, but I don't think that could happen. The purpose of requesting to speak tonight with the selectmen is to share some information on a solar panel install project, the land that we own in Candia, and to present some discussions and correspondence we've had with the current building inspector on this subject matter and his interpretation of there being a lack of zoning in place for solar, thus holding up the issuance of a permit, a building permit, by him for our proposed solar project. We've been working on this solar project for over 2 years. And that includes a lot of planning, engineering, and financial analysis. Our company, who was going to do this, is owned by Joe and I, called A-1 Ventures. It's the land across the street from our gas station. It's 24 acres over there, and we're only using a small portion of it. Really across from really where our barnyard is, directly across the street. Last fall, Joe met with the previous building inspector to discuss our general plans and concept to make sure that we were okay with the town for the installation of solar panels on our land, zoned LI2. The result of the meeting was he was okay with the installation of the panels on that land and indicated he would need detailed professional engineering electrical drawings, quote, for his review to issue a building permit. And also at the same time, he offered out of his own will how much the permit would cost.
Oh, sorry.
So he took it a step further, and it was 20 cents per square foot. So to our chagrin, we were at this meeting tonight. It would appear that his level of comfort on saying that we are okay was based on similar projects already permitted in town for other landowners on both commercial and residential land now. Information we provided to current building inspector to address his zoning concerns for install of solar panels on land zone light industrial 2 property. What we did is we presented information that said that per the zoning regulations under section D, page 20, for that zone property is called essential services. Solar energy is a utility that helps provide an essential service by generating much needed additional energy that helps all levels of government, local, state, and country, while at the same time reducing the world's carbon footprint, which everybody seems to, I think, be in agreement. That's a good thing. The second thing in the zoning that allows this is on section C under industrial, is for manufacturing. Page 19 also. We are manufacturing electricity. That's what a solar project does. It manufactures electricity. And it also requires that it be self-enclosed. We are self-enclosed. All of those components that we're proposing are self-enclosed. So it meets those two criteria. All you got to do is meet one of those two things. It's also important to note that all of these other projects that have already been built, and our attorney and Joe will speak on that in more detail, they all go into the grid. Ours goes into the grid just like everyone else's. Same exact process. So overall, we feel strongly we've met the spirit of the zoning ordinance in the installation of our solar panels on our land that I reference before in my previous information. Based on information we received today, I think through Amy to Joe, there's been 60 permits issued mm-hmm. for solar in town already, and there's some that's been issued this year
in mm-hmm. 2023 and 24. So presumably there were permits granted before 23, so there's 60 permits from 2023 to year to date 25.
Yeah. And also in the residential.
State your name, please.
Okay, I'm Ken Gould. I'm an attorney. I've been with these guys since the beginning, and I'm going to let them mostly do the presentation. But I just wanted to point out that in the zoning regulations for residential, there's nothing said about solar. So, like, one of the arguments of the building inspector is, it's not a permitted per se use because it's not mentioned in for their industrial zone. Well, it's not mentioned for the residential zones.
Yeah. Joe, you got more to add? We'll have a chance to speak in it.
You have a question?
Well, go ahead. Let's finish.
Joe's got. I wanted to hear from Joe first.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'll stand up. You know. Oh, sorry, I don't know where I'm paid. Candia has been very supportive of solar power, mm-hmm. As evidenced by the building permits that have been issued, again, to residential properties and commercial properties. The golf course probably isn't a residential mm-hmm. zone, but it has solar panels. The Seacoast Specialties car facility is in a commercial zone, and that has solar panels on the roof. We're in a commercial zone. We're just asking to be treated similarly. In 2012, the Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission attended a planning board meeting here in Candia, and there was a lot of discussion about solar. I'm just going to hand this one packet that you all can share. The first pages are the listing of building permits that have been issued in 23, 24, and year-to-date 25. And there's 59 I believe, permits listed in on those first four pages. At that planning board meeting, Jack Munn presented before the planning board some, you know, there was a lot of discussion about energy, and some of it was related to solar. I'd just like to read very briefly from those planning board minutes. He read the goals into the record, Jack Munn, that is, reduce overall energy use and greenhouse gas emissions through the community through increased public awareness, promote public and private non-residential residential participation in programs to reduce energy costs, encourage business owners and residents to install Energy Star appliances and renewable solar, wind, wood energy efficient heating systems. Sean, some of the folks that were at that meeting, Mary Gerard, Chair, Sean James, Vice Chair, Judy Lindsay, Kim Bird, Jenny Clifford, these were members of the Planning Board, Albert Hall, Carlton Roby, Board of Selectmen, Rep, Stephen Bradley, Alternate, Dennis Lewis, Road Agent. Sean James wanted to commend Jack Mond on a well-done document. Again, I'm reading right from the minutes. He said there was a lot of information that he was not aware of. He said one recommendation on page 14, 3.3, renewable energy, discusses reserving 2 acres of land for a future solar collection system in the village center. Jack Mond said the Peregrine representative felt the fire station has a good solar orientation and the school building, library as well, and his suggested the idea of future solar renewable energy project for the town. Al Hall suggested the Liquid Planet or the winery as possible other sites for solar power. He said the town of Candia should be ready to act quickly and to have a plan in place when a window of opportunity comes along. Jack Mond said it was good to have a plan ready. Just reading those comments into tonight's meeting to indicate that Candia does support solar energy. And again, it's evidenced by all the building permits that have been issued to build solar here. We're just asking to be treated like others. New Hampshire RSA 671:1-3A states in part, the building of structures that facilitate the collection of renewable energy, including solar energy, shall not be unreasonably limited by New Hampshire municipalities. And what is the definition of unreasonably limited? I'm going to let Ken speak to that.
Just pass this out. That's a copy of the statute.
Thank you.
Pass out a few extras of these.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
So this is a statute that's set by the legislature to encourage renewable energy and solar, and it specifically talks to planning and zoning. So I thought we should just look at a couple of pieces of it. So if you look at on page, the first page, number 3A, says proper regulation encourage energy efficient patterns of development. The use of solar energy, including adequate access to direct sunlight for solar energy uses and the use of other renewable forms of energy. Therefore, the installation of solar, wind, or other renewable energy systems or the building of structures that facilitate the collection of renewable energy shall not be unreasonably limited by the use of municipal zoning powers or by the unreasonable interpretation of such powers. And interestingly, on the next page, which is at the bottom of that page, section 3-D, it defines reasonable interpretation. And it goes on to say that renewable energy systems and commercial and recreational fisheries, because that's included also,
or practiced in accordance with applicable laws and regulations are traditional, fundamental, and accessory uses of land throughout New Hampshire, and that a prohibition upon these uses cannot necessarily be inferred from the failure of an ordinance or regulation to address them. So that one of the key issues here, the building inspector is saying, because solar is not a permitted use in your ordinance, hence it has to be not permitted or approved by the ZBA. And what this statute is telling you is you can't use the failure to use solar in your ordinance as a reason to deny solar. And it's a state mandate.
Good.
I'm a little confused as to why you're here.
I'll explain that if you want.
Okay.
The
purpose of this whole is I've had a discussion with both Joe Craig Newmanstein and Will and the town attorney. And it's clear that what they've been advised to do is to apply for administrative relief. So in other words, the decision by the building inspector. And I told the attorney, our town attorney, that in no way was I planning to have the board overrule the building inspector. But I did say we wanted to have this discussion so the rest of the board knew what was going on and where this was all coming from. So it is going to go to the ZBA. I'm going to have Will speak, too, on his decision why he denied it. But, and again, I'm not looking to overrule anything that Will has done.
Well,
but
I think it's just allowing it. I don't like the word overrule.
In other words, I just told the attorney that I'm not suggesting that the board take a motion to overrule Will's decision.
We don't have that authority.
I said, that's not the purpose of it. And he said that was fine. And after this, he has talked to their attorney, and after this meeting tonight, I believe he's supposed to reach out to the ZBA, too, and have a discussion of where he's coming from, legally.
Right.
My question is if this town doesn't support it, why do we give tax relief?
I know.
We give tax relief for solar.
Well, I do believe there's a lot of arguments in favor of allowing this.
So we must support it.
But it's a procedural thing that's caught in a mess. Like, if it's appropriate, I'll have Will speak now he can explain where he's coming from.
Great. It's not new news that zoning ordinances and interpretations of them can be difficult, and it does. The interpretation of that does obviously change with every administrator of the ordinance. And your ordinance says that the building inspector is the person tasked with administering your ordinance. So as you can see, there might be some discrepancies between the person filling the shoes. But essentially where my opinion lies is with what the table of uses says and what the zoning ordinance says in a whole, which is that you have to meet what the ordinance says or it's not allowed. And so the terminology gets used a lot that if it's not explicitly called out in the ordinance, it's implicitly denied. And that piece is a difficult one to grasp, but that's what I have been told by the town attorney as well, that piece is very important. So if we can't find a use if we can't put solar in one of those definitions inside of that table of uses, then I can't approve it, is essentially what it comes down to. And I have tried through multiple communications with the applicant to fit it someplace in the ordinance. And I haven't been able to, without possibly bending a definition here or there, I haven't been able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel as though I have the power to redefine the ordinance in any way. So without it being there specifically, I can't approve it. And there's discussion about previous permits being solar. It's from what I understand, there's a big difference between accessory structures, accessory uses, and primary use of a lot. And really, this question comes down to, there's no other use on the lot. Right. And so there's no other use on the lot. What's the primary use when there's only solar?
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney, but from what I understand, we have to call it solar. Well, solar doesn't line up very well inside that table of permitted uses. Solar a solar array on top of a residential roof is obviously it's accessory. What is the definition of accessory? It's something along the lines of it is, it's, the lawyer might be able to help me with the definition if he knows it off the top of his head.
It's written in the zoning ordinance what it is. Craig can read it.
It's land. I mean, the statute here, calls, says it's allowed.
Okay, I mean, this is where we differ a little bit here.
Yeah.
In your definitions, use, accessory, underline, a use of land, comma, building, or portion thereof, either of those, normally incidental to the permanent principal use of the premises, land. It doesn't say land with a building on it, it says land.
That's what we have.
We have land. So
it doesn't say it has to be connected to your primary use.
A big question I have is, someone comes in tomorrow, going to put a solar, going to issue a building permit, we're not getting one. Why? And we gave them good reasons why it's already in your zoning.
Well, there are several solar arrays in Candia that are not on buildings.
We gave you reasons why essential services or utilities covers that.
Yeah,
you
your manufacturing.
You don't have to have the word solar in your ordinance, but you do have to say utilities or essential services, and we define that. It's defined. They meet that criteria, and it seems to be like going over the top and not listened to.
Can I add to that? First, I just want to say that I am attempting to stay completely non-biased with this. Whether I have an opinion on whether solar should be allowed in town or not, it's not. I have no opinion on that. Completely unbiased. My responsibility is to try to determine what Candia's zoning ordinance says. And so the incidental piece is what catches my attention with a accessory versus primary use. It can't be incidental to anything without there being a use of the lot. The use of the lot is not there, it's just land. And so even if it is just by definition and a lack of the ordinance specifying, which is really the problem, the ordinance doesn't specify that it is allowed, then my hands are tied. And my opinion is that it needs to go in front of the ZBA, who has the lasting authority to determine, make a determination of your zoning ordinance above and beyond the powers of the building official.
By doing so,
that will give Candia's opinion on the matter and not just the building inspector.
Go ahead, Pat.
How many square feet is this solar array planning on being?
It's basically 1,040 panels. So it's roughly 85,000 square feet.
And it's designed only to power our needs at Candia First Up. We're not building this to sell to some other town or entity.
So from an accessory use, it's our use.
We use a lot of electricity there.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking the neighbor to go on. Mm-hmm. It's ours, yeah. Strictly.
So I want to get back to the accessory use part.
So I just have another point to make with that.
Sure.
So you have over 1 million square feet of land that's able to be used, and you're talking about using less than 10% of that. How is that a primary use of land?
I don't know where the term primary comes from.
What's that, primary
use? You mentioned as an accessory use, something else has to be there, and then that's the accessory.
Not according to
Joe, hold on. I'm in your favor here. I'm not arguing against you.
I'm
trying to figure out...
I'm a little dumb tonight.
I'm trying to figure out how we can take 80,000 square feet of solar panels on over 1 million square feet of land and call that a primary use.
So I guess the question comes down to what is the use of the lot if all that's on the lot is solar panels?
Well, only a small portion of it is being used for solar panels.
Right, but not
the rest of it's in current use or whatever.
Right, and I think my determination is also the town's attorney's determination. It's not, they're one and the same. I think that's really what the question comes down to, is whether or not it has to be called solar as the use of the lot, and if that fits into that table.
If I can put in, I spoke to the town attorney.
Yep.
And he did tell me he was going to support whatever the building inspector position was. but not because of his belief that the zoning ordinance doesn't allow for what we want.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
His position was, yeah, with this state statute, the zoning board's going to have to do, they're going to be in danger if they don't do what these guys want. But, but he was willing to let the building inspector have his position and have the town support him. So I just want to make that clear.
I guess at a really simple level, we have several of them in town already. I don't think, personally, this is my personal opinion, I don't think solar is a bad thing. I think it's really good. I think at somewhere along the line, we decided to give credits, to tax credits, to people who put solar in. So to me, it would be totally, in my opinion, very unfair not to allow it in this case, or actually anybody else who comes afterwards, and then ask the town, get a zoning ordinance more to your liking or what you think specifically should be in it. I just think it's very unfair that there are other ones all around town, and all of a sudden, you know, it's almost like don't ask, don't tell. You know, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
I can speak a little to the burden here, too, of why we're before you today. So they've been working for many years on a grant with the government to help them with this solar project. It's a time-sensitive thing, and basically if we are forced to go before the zoning board, which it seems evident from the board's understanding, and the zoning board denies it because they say it's not in the ordinance, so you got to get the ordinance changed, or whatever, however they opinion it, and they appeal that to Superior Court, we're a year out and they lose their grant. So it's not just we don't want to go before the zoning board, we want you guys to decide. There's some mechanisms here that are making it
sometimes it's common sense.
Can I add to that common sense, though?
Yeah.
So I just, it's not so simple, cut and dry, line in the sand. So somebody installs a mini split. There's a condensing unit outside, and it's attached to the structure. That mini split is not spelt out in the ordinance either as being an allowable accessory to the single family.
Okay.
Use. Solar panels are attached to the structure in some way. And so those things are not spelt out. We'd have a really, really long ordinance if that was the case. Again, that's the muddiness in the water is when your table of permitted uses doesn't spell out what other towns spell out, which is solar arrays or large solar arrays or whatever it might be. And your ordinance doesn't talk about it, likely because it's an old ordinance and it hasn't been updated to meet things that happen nowadays. And it doesn't clearly say, give a path for things that aren't not listed in that table. It just implicitly denies them. Then it just makes it, from my perspective, it makes it difficult for me to make a decision that isn't an error. And I don't feel as though I should be making any sort of error. And instead, I have to make a determination based off of what I think is right and allow the process to begin.
But you're making my point for me. How many mini splits, for example, are in this town? I mean, you're going to be really busy. There's thousands of mini splits, so it might not be addressed in any of our zoning because they haven't gotten to it, or because we're a small town, we're not Manchester or something like that. But that doesn't make a mini split wrong. You know, we're not going to go pulling mini splits or denying mini splits.
No, but what do you do if the only use on a lot was a very large mini split? It's obviously it's not.
I know
it sounds funny, but
no, I know.
What we call
it's stretching it.
And what's accessory use is not so easily defined.
Yeah.
Without the definition of the ordinance that says what.
We thought we were doing the right thing by going in and talking to the previous building inspector and being proactive so that we wouldn't get caught with any issues. And we did that, and he gave us the direction that you are good with the land zone as is.
Yeah.
And this is the cost that I'm going to charge you for your building permit. So based on that, we continue with our engineers to spend more money, both in the electrical, structural, and civil aspects of this project. And now we're at a point where if we don't get this grant, we can't afford this whole project. There's no way.
All right.
So it's dead, but all that money we've spent is gone. We have to withdraw the project. And that's a detriment, not just for us, but the energy. We're all looking for the whole country's short on energy. And we have a way of producing some energy, which the town does now. They do it for 60 plus projects now. So why did we proceed? We were given direction by the town to proceed.
And that's
someone's got to be responsible to say, oh, geez, the town said that?
Do you have anything on paper by any chance?
Did your attorney?
You can call Bob if anyone.
I'm just wondering if you have anything on paper.
No, we don't. It was that discussion.
Yeah, without having, it's hard to.
I know.
I'll call Bob.
I'll call him, absolutely. But there's nothing on paper. It's not, what good is that?
Did you talk with Mike about that?
Yes, I did. But again, it was a limited conversation.
Right.
I had limited knowledge of even where they were going today. But he was very supportive in the fact that, we talked mostly about the statute. And the statute really says specifically that towns, because without having the specific use in the ordinance, shouldn't prohibit the use of solar.
So it shouldn't be unreasonable.
It's very it's telling what I think towns, he said. Don't use exactly what's happening here to prevent solar. But I also like to think, I'm thinking about what he said just now, the inspector, and if you put a hypothetical on and said, what if they put a small trailer unit on that property and decided that now we're going to use the solar array as an accessory
there
use
you go.
For a small
trailer?
You can rent it.
You know? So, I mean, we'd have the same problem.
Yeah, that meets his argument, but now we're getting crazy.
Accessory is incidental and subordinate.
It doesn't say it has to be for a building. It says accessory can be
correct.
For land.
Yeah.
It goes into the grid, just like if his solar system and theirs, they all go into the grid. Ours is going into the grid.
Right.
It's not going directly into your house.
Is the board aware of the council's determination? The information that I have received from council?
I don't know if they all are.
No.
No. That's why we're having this discussion. I'm not looking for a lot of public input, but go ahead, Colin.
Well, I have like about five things that I want to say. First off, I don't understand why if these men have been, this has nothing to do whether I like solar or not, but if these men had been thinking about this project for the last 2 years, why didn't they go to the planning board for an informational? That would have been the place to start. The planning board would have
because
said
the planning board the would have kicked them right to the ZBA.
The planning board would have said, we don't have zoning for this. Then the zoning board, they would have gone there, and the zoning board would have said, we don't have zoning
regulations. Well, I think they got
misdirected.
My point is that 2 years ago, if they had started this process, there would have been time for the planning board to write zoning for this, which we could have voted on at our last town
meeting.
That's
a possibility.
And we wouldn't be here now.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to bring up is the sales agreement on the property. I remember when we sold the property, and I believe that we listed specific things in the sale of the property for what we would like to see that land used for, all of which
that's not binding.
Would be, but it's revenue intended. It's revenue. I want to speak about the revenue. This property we sold, we anticipated it to produce revenue. So my question is, if the solar array goes forward, is there any revenue?
Okay, yes. What's your next question?
Solar panels.
What's my next question?
Yeah, you said you had five.
I didn't think you'd give me all that time. The other thing is, we're speaking about solar in regard to residential, which is not the same as what these gentlemen. It sounds like I don't like this. In fact, I'm a big proponent of solar. But what I don't like to see happening here is people trying to circumvent our zoning regulations.
Well, I don't think this is the case, so
yeah,
I don't want you to go there.
I just want to
this
make
is not the case,
sure.
Colin.
I want to make sure that we interpret whatever zoning we do or don't have correctly. You know, and that we're not bending the rules to make this happen.
You
If I could just say something on the...
Well, I'm going to let her finish first, Joe.
Oh, of course.
Come on, you got one
so
more?
So I see this as distinctly different. This is a commercial venture. The other solar that has been mentioned here tonight is not commercial. It's all residential.
I don't know about that. That's not true. I don't think it is.
The golf course.
That's not true. The golf course has got a huge one.
I don't think the golf course is considered a commercial endowment.
Well, what do you think it is?
Of course it is.
I think it's
they're making money.
It's a business.
Anyhow,
it's just allowed in a residential area.
Those are my five things, but I would like a response in regard to revenue.
I don't know what that is.
I don't think that's pertinent to this issue, to be honest with you. Joe?
Regarding the purchase and sale agreement, there was one stipulation that there be not be industrial condos placed on the town, the land that we bought from the town, which is 13 acres. Those parcels, there's four parcels over there contiguous that equal 24 acres. Some of that land we bought from Kevin Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The only stipulation in the purchase and sale when we bought the land from the town, the 13 acres, was that there be no industrial condominiums placed on that property. That's it.
Okay.
There was nothing talked about tax revenues.
Or solar.
We've had interest that we've rejected on the property from Pinard Waste. We could have dumpsters over there. We could have garbage trucks over there. We didn't feel it was the right situation at the town, at the entrance to the town of Candia. We've been here in Candia since 2011 when we opened. We feel we're a good neighbor. We're a community center. There's cruise nights. There's all kinds of activities that we support in the town. We are a high taxpayer producer ourselves. We have endeavored, and we will continue to endeavor to attract industrial projects to that property. We're taking up less than 100,000 square feet of the 24 acres with this solar endeavor. In terms of working on this project for 2 years, yes, we have been working on a USDA grant for much of that time. And without the grant, we weren't going to go forward with
right.
the project.
I understand
so,
that.
You know, it's like a catch-22. The project wasn't even real. We never imagined that we'd have a problem with all the solar going up in not only Candia, but all over
everywhere.
Southern New Hampshire. It's not just Candia. We're not building a solar farm to make money. We're trying to reduce the cost of what we spend as a business on electrical energy so that we can hire more residents of Candia and Auburn and all the wonderful people, that, to be honest with you, that work for us, over 130 employees at our business.
And anybody concerned with revenue, there are two places in Candia, the top two revenue producers, they're one of them. And I think you know who the other one is. It begins with an S.
So we want to develop the property responsibly.
Thanks for spelling it out.
And
I didn't think they were getting it.
I think we were led to believe we had the ability to build our
right.
project.
I agree.
And yeah. now we've run into a roadblock.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, we're concerned about going before the ZBA. We have, I think, some members of the ZBA here tonight. Perhaps they can shed some light on how they're going to react.
Well, I don't think they're going
to
make any decision
maybe
without
not.
Meeting
maybe
the
not,
board.
But it would help us.
But I realize that. But
I
think.
Tried,
yeah, I know. But
when's
I think
the next
what
meeting? When's the next ZBA meeting?
They can't get on till May.
They can't get on till May. It's the I think I believe it's the 23rd
right.
of
the
23rd
of
the
April is full.
Well,
it's too late to notice. It's too late to notice.
We have a really
it's too
big
late for April, I agree.
Really,
yes.
And they yeah. can't they don't have time to know, even if we try to put them on now, we can't get the noticing and things.
Okay.
Right.
Now.
So it would be May what?
We understand.
It would be the fourth Tuesday in May.
The 27th.
Yeah. It can't be sooner.
No. Well, not unless they agree to meet sooner.
Well
that's up
be,
to them.
We do
we
that.
Can't, I know, but we can't force them to do it.
Well
it's not up to us.
It's not,
it's
that we
not up to us, but I would think
But
that might be a consideration.
I think all I'm looking for tonight, and the reason we brought it here, was just so the board was informed.
Yeah.
And personally, I'm in supportive of it 100%. I think it's an awesome place for it. And they've been great for this community.
Yes, they have.
So, and basically what they've been advised to do by the town attorney is to apply to the ZBA for administrative decision based on Will's decision. So it's not a full-blown, they don't have to define all this criteria for a ZBA decision. This is just administrative decision.
Will that ZBA meeting have public input?
Yeah.
It will?
Yeah.
Before you vote?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it basically, the town attorney is supposed to speak with Judy, and I don't know if he's going to try to speak with the whole board, but he's going to advise him to not be unreasonable. And that's
good.
As far as he'll
that's
go.
That's good.
Not to be, am I correct? Not to be unreasonable.
Good.
And Will has already said he's going to be working on making those changes for this coming year.
Yeah.
In our
so
zoning.
This doesn't happen again.
Correct.
Right.
Good.
Well, clearly the town should work on zoning that has to do with solar, and you wouldn't be here.
We don't have tiny
no.
house zoning. There's a lot
Carla,
of things we don't
no,
have.
No, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. Dean, and I love you.
Just a question. Do you, as a board, how much power does the board have? Could you vote to tell Will to issue a building permit? Could you, as
I
a
asked,
board?
I asked the town attorney that, and he advised me.
That's all what I'm asking. Can you, do you have the power?
Yes.
I don't give
yes,
a damn about the attorney, because you know how they are.
I know, Dean, but we have to, I have
no,
to
no,
abide
I,
by
I,
it.
The only problem is that it sets a precedent.
Right.
The answer would
and
be,
if
the
it's
answer
a good
be,
precedent, I hear that all the time.
I agree.
If it sets a precedent, well, if it's the damn best precedent in the world, then do it.
Yeah.
Do
I agree.
It. How would anybody ever find fault with a really great precedent?
Well,
they
Dean,
do now.
Because what could
no,
happen is, if you did that, it would take one citizen to file an appeal
right.
of their decision, and it would still end up at the zoning board.
Mm-hmm. It would muck
all
up the works, and it would hold them up.
All you need is one citizen to file a citizen's petition to appeal that administrative decision, and it's still going to end up at the ZBA. That's just going to take them longer.
I think there's enough support by the state that this decision is not going to be difficult. It's a procedural
right.
thing. I really do.
It's just a time thing.
Right, well,
it's a time thing.
Understand. But, and I apologize that you guys got bad advice from the previous building inspector.
Well, you can't
that's
say
honest.
It was
I'm not gonna,
bad.
I wouldn't
think
say
it was
that he
bad.
Got bad advice.
Right. Yeah,
it's two
well,
different interpretations.
Yeah. Right.
But
I wouldn't say either
it,
one are bad advice. It's just two different people reading
it allowed
it
them
ways.
To continue when it's too bad that the timing wasn't fast. You got the permit and you started building right then and there.
Well, they try to do it properly. Which, like
so,
I said,
right,
forgiveness.
You got anything else to add?
No,
point?
I'd say get to the ZBA tomorrow and make an application.
And I'd like the minutes to show that I would urge the ZBA to add an extra meeting and push it up as much as they could legally with noticing.
Craig?
Meeting for the ZBA, just asking your opinion. Are we asking to be on their agenda just for a discussion of the administrative decision?
No, you're asking for relief from that decision.
That's correct.
Relief.
Yes.
But we're not asking for a variance.
No,
it's totally different.
Just wanted to make
it's
sure.
administrative decision, and you're asking for that to be overturned.
They'll help you
I,
in the office with the application.
I disagree with you. I think that they have to ask for two things. They have to ask for relief of the administrative decision and then ask for a variance because it's not allowed there.
That's not according to what the town attorney said.
Well, then we'll talk to the town attorney.
Yeah, he is
I
supposed
think
to talk
that,
to you.
That, to me, I think is the procedure, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the ZBA has the power, even if somebody came and asked specifically for just administrative appeal. The noticing is the question. They have powers to do all the things in the meeting that they need to do.
Correct.
You have to notice it appropriately.
Yep.
So if you don't notice it as an appeal and a variance or whatever relief they need to, if it's not clear, that's where it gets.
Yeah,
well, they can
you.
Work
that's
that
important.
Out, and I would also encourage if the board can meet sooner than that, maybe then I mean, we do it all the time.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We can discuss it at our next meeting.
Yeah, but I mean, we work for applicants, we work for the people of the town, that's our job.
The people who pay the taxes.
We're here to serve everybody.
The community.
Is there anything else, Joe or Craig, you wanted to add as attorney?
Hang in there, just hang in there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you for hearing us tonight. Appreciate it.
Was there anything else anybody had?
What is this about the date of the meeting or something?
Yeah, we were looking at maybe skipping that one because Amy's not going to be here, and I don't think we have anything pressing.
No.
So what's the conclusion here?
Well, that's...
Boyd, if you want to come, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, you can show up if you want.
Help me plant my garden, boy.
The next scheduled meeting we cancel.
All right. I just have one announcement.
Yep.
The Recycling and Energy Committee has scheduled a townwide cleanup, picking up the trash along the roads. It's going to be sometime in the month of April, because April is supposed to be Earth Month. And the bags are going to be available here in the town office, the library, and at the recycling center.
Perfect.
And we're getting some posters up to advertise this.
Good.
All right, so if nothing is pressing, is the board's... agree that we cancel the next scheduled meeting?
I'd love it. Sure. That would be great.
Yeah, good.
All in favor of that?
Because we can always come in if we need it.
Yeah, we can schedule something if something does come up.
All right.
Good.
Move to adjourn.
Or is there anything else?
There's nothing else. Yeah?
What about our insurance and what we talked about today?
We'll talk about it after.
Okay.
Just move to adjourn.
Oh, I'll second it. Okay. Is that why you're looking at me?
All in favor?
So,
Boyd.
Brian, thank you.